Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we have with us...
Jeff. No, I am Jeff.
And... and... Wobble! It's Wobble here. I'm here.
I don't know if you've noticed this. No one else has noticed this, but Josh, for the last, I would say, month or two, has been exclusively calling me Wobbert.
I have not noticed.
Wobbert.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why. Like,
it just sounds funny. I like saying
it's
it.
It's a term of endearment.
Yeah. Baby talk. He's trying to baby talk. Term,
it's is it happened since you shaved your head?
I don't
perhaps,
know.
Maybe, perhaps yeah. Now you remind him of a small baby.
Could be. I'm not sure what's going on. Wobbert.
Wobbo.
I don't know. The facial hair throws off the whole
it's
baby
like
theory.
Like Brian, you know? It's like saying Brian. Which is also funny.
No, do you say
like Brian? I'm not saying it's not funny. I'm just saying it is very odd.
Isn't that insensitive to people who can't pronounce their R's?
Perhaps. That's fine.
Is it?
I mean, yeah.
It's like baby talk.
Yep.
Anyway.
Someone's upset at you.
I'm going to text later.
You're going to get an angry
email.
I'm
doing Barbara Walters.
Oh, yeah. That's from the old SNL.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys just came back from E3.
Yes, the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
How was it?
I think that as an E3, like, you know, from everyone's perspective, I think that it was a great year this year as far as content wise, because it's so last year was the first E3 of the new console generation.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And so everyone's sort of in this awkward place of still trying to develop for the 360 and the PS3 while also concurrently developing for the Xbox One and the PS4. So what you got was a bunch of crap that really were kind of ports, you know, across the board.
Yeah, just trying to span both generations.
Yeah, so it usually takes a year or two for the new gen, whatever that is, to sort of get its footing. And I think we saw a lot of that this year. Like the, I thought the Microsoft press conference was strong when I watched it, and then I think Sony sort of stole the show with theirs. Like they had such a strong showing.
Yeah, Sony's was just like a fan service almost.
Yeah.
It was, and that's I think what stole the headlines. I don't know that the lineup of games was of magnitude better, but it hit emotions.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's all. It's fair game, you know.
Yep.
Looking at, I mean, obviously everyone was waiting with bated breath for a long time for Last Guardian, which was supposed to be a PS3 game, and that finally came out. I mean, understanding that Team Michael had gotten disbanded, but then I guess, I mean, I would imagine Sony,
they were hiding them away.
Either they're hiding them away, or Sony made some phone calls. One or the other. And then clearly the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Right in your alley.
It was a huge deal. Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'll actually replay it.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I haven't played it since it first came out.
Is it just the same game, just re-graphicked?
It is my understanding it is, full from the ground up remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Hmm.
So I don't think, it's my understanding there are not supposed to be any gameplay changes, but visually it is,
it looks
like Advent Children.
Maybe I'll play it.
Yeah, it looks like.
I never actually really played Final Fantasy VII.
We can play together.
Barely any of it.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, me and you, we can play together like friends.
You can name your character Wobbert.
No, it's going to name Cloud Strife.
You don't change your names.
No, it's Cha-Cha.
No! Anyway, what's great is that if this succeeds, I mean, that really does open the doors for potentially other remakes.
If it does well,
We haven't had enough remakes?
No, we haven't. Final Fantasy VIII needs a remake.
I mean,
that's what he's really hoping out for.
Does it? They should just make a Final Fantasy VIII 2, right? Wouldn't that be better? Just a new
one
in that same realm?
Look, I'd like that as well.
See, that'd be better. Well, that would
but
be better,
I don't know. They
not
really closed
well.
The door on that story. So anyway.
Well, how about another one that's just like that one? Same type, just
no.
A different story.
No.
Like, let's say somebody had a kid.
No.
He popped out a kid.
No.
And continue the story.
No.
is that your secret to writing sequels?
Yeah, I guess. You know, or maybe it's like a a divine child.
No,
by all of the
most Final Fantasies
the
have
God
some
things or whatever they are.
Some character that's made up of the magical energies of the world, anyway.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, so then the third big piece out of the Sony conference was the Shenmue 3 launch, which
I tweeted you immediately, Josh.
Yeah, and I was like, "What are they talking about? I don't see anything. I see this rumor about a tweet, but I don't see anything else." And I keep looking, and I refresh, and then the things about the Kickstarter popped up. I'm like, "Oh."
I mean, here's
and then I signed up for it.
What I thought was interesting. So I think it's like a has it broken 4 yet? I think it's a 3.
I don't know. I haven't checked.
3 is something. Yeah,
it's 3 something. And what's interesting is the post-show outrage that, like, oh, Sony's also funding it. What the heck? They're just doing a cash grab. I mean,
is Sony also funding it?
Yes.
No, but that's a lot of money. They better make it awesome because that.
Well, it's actually not that much.
I bet you the game is going to cost between $15 and $25. Yep.
Easy.
If they, okay.
If they make a Shenmue
with next
gen.
Did you see the horrible trailer thing that they did for the Kickstarter?
It wasn't a great trailer.
Really,
I don't think there's anything encoded yet. I don't think
exactly. I mean, as long as it doesn't look like that.
No, they'll make it.
You know, because that was really bad.
They'll make it
really, really bad.
They'll take advantage of PS4
hardware. I'm sure
he
can pull it off. Sure
So it's going to cost between $15 and $25, and it's not realistic to think that a $2 million Kickstarter is going to fund it. Whether or not you buy it then or you buy it later, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't understand. I really don't understand the argument of people being outraged that Sony is also kicking money into this.
Whenever something is successful, there's always going to be a segment of the populace that just,
I mean, if you don't want Sony to kick in, it's just not going to be as good of a game. I mean, what the fuck do you want?
There's a lot to
that game.
Or they could have made the Kickstarter for $17 million,
and it would never have fulfilled for
$13 million, and then had Sony pop in $13 million into the Kickstarter.
I mean, their stretch goals are even pretty big.
That would cause even more outrage.
Oh, are they? What are they at? I have no idea.
They have some major stretch goals for like new areas. They're like at $5 million and $7 million. Like, that's a lot for a Kickstarter.
What's the top one? What's the highest echelon Kickstarter? I'm sorry, stretch goal.
They're kind of hiding them.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, so they sort of like mentioned
entire new worlds for $1 million. That's not or not world, but levels.
Sure, but it's a lot for Kickstarter. It's a lot.
For Kickstarter, but it's not a lot compared to normal development cost.
Yeah, sure. That's not what I'm saying.
What tier did you put in at just for the game,
I
want to go to Japan and help design it.
No, I mean, I
saw that
I'd
one.
Probably
that was
be
cool.
Really good at that, but you know,
I'd probably be a pro. But really, they should be paying me for that.
No, I put in at enough like, to get something.
The shirt, I think.
I wanted the T-shirt.
Yeah.
So I went up to the T-shirt, which means I get the capsules too.
So, did you actually get a chance to play very much at E3? I don't know if you're like me, but you. Everything has lines.
I was at the convention center for about 45 minutes.
Yeah. Let's hear about
you're doing
your
meetings.
Two separate E3 experiences. How is it?
So
is it
okay.
For you guys?
So E3 is a madhouse. I mean, you know, it's just a show floor. Like for those that have been to PAX, like just imagine just the expo hall, and then like that's what it is. And so there aren't really any quiet areas to really talk with people, and it's not really a good area to like network with folks. And so all of my meetings, every single one of my meetings occurred offsite. And so I would say I probably had 10 meetings a day that are all at a adjacent hotel.
Like you spent it in a specific lobby the entire time, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, did you?
I overheard you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm just that's all of like the folks that are sort of in my circle. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And so I was finally able to make it over to the convention center. I think right at the tail end of Wednesday, and was able to sit down and I played Street Fighter V.
How's it?
Great.
Does it look like Street Fighter 4?
Yeah.
Or no.
But better. I mean, it looks better.
That would look like Guilty Gear.
What do you want? I was able to play with the new Elite controller, which is awesome.
Oh, was it good?
Elite controller?
Yeah.
The Microsoft's released like this super moddable, customized, tweakable controller.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super heavy, is what's interesting. First of all, it's heavy, and they have paddles on the backside that you can map to, like, you know, A, B, X, or Y.
So they have two more buttons?
Yeah.
You can take the paddles out if you want. Like, it's super moddable. And the...
you can even change the top of the analog sticks.
Yeah, the analog sticks have a little... there's like a switch that allows you to change the depth of the analog stick.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, instead of, let's say you're playing a racing game, for instance, you know, you want to have a really deep analog range.
Maybe, unless you're really bad at them.
Let's say for a shooter, I mean, you want to click that as quick as you can.
Yeah, they had a clicker right for the trigger, trigger. Toggle as well.
And the D-pad is now what looks like kind of like a satellite dish, only like a... it's very hard to describe.
To the disc thing.
Yeah, it's like a circular rocker.
But it's a very tight experience. I always messed around with it. It's really good. And I think everything from the analog sticks to the buttons, et cetera, they're all moddable. Like out of the gate.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is really, really cool. I felt really good. I checked out Cuphead.
You got to play it?
I didn't play it. I just sat there and watched people play it for a while.
I could just watch it forever.
But it is essentially Contra in a old school, like, Mickey Mouse animated
1930s
style.
Animation.
Yeah.
That we talked about it on the Games We're Looking Forward To podcast.
About really? Games.
Yeah. I was mentioned as one that we want.
Yeah. That was really cool. And what is it? Rainbow looks great. Division, I'm excited for.
Yeah, all those Clancy shooters looked amazing.
I met Tom Clancy's son at a party.
on Wednesday night?
I think Wednesday night. Yeah,
that would make sense.
And it was interesting. Like, I feel like he just sort of hangs around and, you know, just has a good time.
Yeah, I mean, what else is he gonna do? What is he?
Does
how
he
old
write?
Is he?
I don't know if he writes or not. I mean, I just briefly spoke with him for a little bit. I was talking with some folks and he came over and said hello, and he's got to be late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, so he's got to be doing something.
Maybe. Like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, the Clancy
maybe
legacy.
Maybe he's a writer. Maybe he's writing
to...
a big, you know, book.
Who knows? I mean, maybe he manages the empire, frankly. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it's all sorted out. I didn't get to talk to him too much.
No.
Nice
he
guy.
He just knew who you were and came up to you.
I don't know. It was
and just mingling.
General
mingling.
It was a circle.
I see.
People.
Makes sense.
Did you get a chance to do any of the VR or AR stuff? I couldn't wait in lines to do them.
I was gonna
they were
get,
so long.
I was gonna get a demo on for Morpheus on Thursday morning, but ended up bailing on it to get on an earlier flight. But I can say that the week before here, we, like, Mike, Jerry, and I went over to Valve and tried out.
Did their thing?
Their demo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was HTC Vive, I don't know. and it's pretty mind blowing. Like, yeah, you know, I've tried all the Oculus stuff, and but this is the Valve stuff is.
It sounds
amazing.
Pretty cool. They talked about it in the podcast.
Oh, okay,
bit, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it was a shocking experience.
Yeah.
So, I was gonna try to do the HoloLens.
Oh yeah.
Halo multiplayer thing.
Yeah.
The line was 6 hours long, even with me trying to pull strings. And so I didn't get a chance to do it, but the reports, the people that I talked to that actually did it said it was crazy.
Yeah.
And like. But the way part of it is the way they set up the demo, where it was like a Disneyland ride almost, where the interior was like a spaceship. And at one point, you could look out a fake window on the wall, but looking through it made it look like you were in a spaceport. You'd see spaceships taking off and stuff. And then, yeah, then it was like the scene in Avatar with a holographic tree coming up, or Holochest from some Star Wars, where the Cortana comes up and gives you your briefing and appears. And I personally am more excited about augmented reality than I am virtual reality. I think that's...
I would have said the same thing until you did the demo.
All right, I'll hold my...
And I am very excited for people to start, one, experiencing that, and then two, for content to come out for. Because it's interesting. So no matter how good a piece of technology is, especially in gaming, if you don't have that content piece to sort of make that last step...
Until you get some really creative people because to figure out how to use it.
Because it's a psychological trick that all of this is playing on you.
Yeah.
And if your mind isn't properly engaged or tricked, however you want to call it, then it's going to break. But some of the stuff that they had was pretty shocking.
I was amazed. Like every show kind of gets a theme... organic. And this one, I just, as soon as you got outside the main booths and saw some of the smaller stuff, which you didn't get a chance to because you didn't see the show floor very much, there was a ton of little places working on accessories.
Oh yeah,
for VR. Mm-hmm. Like little rings you'd wear to supplement, so they'd project your hands into the virtual space, and guns and all sorts of stuff. And I thought it was interesting that all of these small companies are going to try to be first to market with the add-ons you need.
Yeah.
Well, where, yeah, to, meanwhile, to get the main, out.
Yeah, the systems aren't even in consumer hands really yet. Yeah. So,
I mean, the only thing that's really, really missing from VR is the other senses that you don't.
Yeah, the tactile feedback.
Yeah, I mean, if you could
A lot of
feel
gloves.
Something, that would make a huge difference.
Pressure gloves.
So the way that the Valve setup is, is that you have essentially two of the nunchuck parts of the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it like that.
Yeah.
But instead of the analog stick, it's a touchpad.
Okay.
And you can squeeze the controller, and that's also a point of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that,
yeah,
the idea of squeezing something in your hand to pick something up
makes sense.
It tricks your, it really does trick you. Yeah. And you know, with that demo, you can also like walk around and everything. I feel like I'm gushing too much about it, but it really is.
No, it sounded pretty sweet.
It really is. It was a very odd experience. Like, I can see myself getting lost in, legit lost in there. For
you're
a
not
long
violating
time.
An NDA or anything like that. No. I just imagine at some point someone's listening to the podcast and it's just switches to klaxon sirens and NDA warning. NDA warning is Josh has to edit it out. Yeah, that's funny because the people I talk to are usually on the floor because it's marketing folks.
Sure.
And it's, you know, advertising folks. Yeah. And they're usually on the show floor with their booths.
Yeah.
So most of my meetings are...
Just yelling at people?
Yeah. Talking really loudly over everything and trying to find... some of the booths have nice little hidden away meeting rooms built into them.
Yeah.
You end up getting squirreled away past corporate receiving and things like that. But I got a decent chance to walk around. I didn't have time to wait in line to play anything, but saw some stuff. The extended Uncharted 4 demo was amazing.
Really?
Oh my gosh, it was so gorgeous. And I think I'm a big fan of the series.
Yeah.
The action sequence was better scripted and better dialogue than most action movies. And on top of it, you've got variation based on player choice, which it blows me away. It actually got me excited. I want to play the first ones again. And they're doing the upgraded remake that they're releasing on the PS4 of 1 through 3. It's made me. I'm going to figure out whenever they announce the official release date of 4. I'm going to like a month earlier. I'm going to buy that collection and play through. That was really cool. I really liked the. I know a lot of people have problems with South Park humor, but I really liked the first Stick of Truth. So to hear there was a new South Park RPG announced.
Oh, that was really weird, by the way.
That was a weird interaction when
Matt and Trey came out
on stage.
Oh, I was going to ask you if there anything crazy like that happened.
No, well, yeah. So we're sitting there, and, you know, we're like 10 rows back or whatever. And then like, they're like, oh, you know, for our first to welcome our friends, Matt and Trey. And we're like, what? And they go out there. And at that moment, up until that moment, I did not realize what a big fan I was of those guys.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
and you could tell they completely went off script.
Oh yeah, there
is no they start making fun of the mics.
Yeah,
and you could tell there's probably some corporate hand wringing back there. But
no, yeah, I mean it was cool to see those guys, and then a bunch of really really big celebrities I had no idea who were came out.
Robert had an experience like I have all the time where a musician came out on stage and he didn't know who it was.
Who was
this guy? It was
you still don't know Jason something.
Jason
Derule. Did something? I don't hear it. Look it up.
He's like literally got like the number one album in the country right now, I guess. So like,
what?
I don't even have to pretend to try to know these things anymore.
Like going, I was talking to everyone around me. I was like, who is this guy? They're like, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's pop music. So I'm not going to know.
I'm cresting over toward my late 30s at this
point. Like if it was a guitarist or something, maybe I would.
Sure.
No, hip hop. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Definitely not gonna know.
Yeah, but so I was really excited for that one. I'm actually, this is a really bizarre one. I'm excited for. There's a Transformers Devastation. I saw it and just it's a brawler. So part of it is I look for games that I can also play with Ethan.
Sure.
And it's based on the 80s cartoon. No Michael Bay stuff. It is straight up 80s cartoon. Cell shaded 3D brawler.
It's nice.
With the voices of the original cartoon actors. And they incorporate the transforming into the combo system.
Oh, that sounds so really
like,
cool.
As Optimus Prime, you'll turn into the truck and like kind of drive up and launch yourself and then transform into the robot and hit him. And it looked, I can't wait to play that game with Ethan. I think it'll just be a blast. Plus, I started to introduce that first generation Transformers to him anyway, so he's already kind of familiar with the universe.
You ever play Clay Fighter?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like that where you kind of change into your move.
Yeah. Right? In terms of morphing, but it was a 3D world, so it's not, you're not fighting on a 2D plane like Street Fighter.
Oh, it's not
Fighter.
A 2D plane?
No, no, it's a like an arena combat.
Oh, I see.
But it looked just like the cartoon. It was so cool looking. I got really excited for that. Just obscure. I always try to find the really cool, obscure stuff. You mentioned Cuphead already.
Was there any like big spectacles like the car wash or like the DJ?
Like
Oakenfold coming out.
Yeah, I mean, just
whatever.
I got offered a lot of free frozen yogurt. You know what I'm talking about, right? When you're walking past those girls, they're just like the only one you give away is frozen yogurt. Let me think. Because again, I wasn't on site.
I'm trying to think who the big. Oh, you know what? So much of the show now, the booth space are like these private demonstration theaters and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff, and there's also pretty much everyone had a live stage.
Yeah,
a filmed live stage. It was really interesting to see the evolution of that.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
So like what Riot does essentially, or like a Twitch stage, or
no, I'm talking about like with personalities, like couch. Think of like The View.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of like Twitch is set up where they have that little like.
But they're not playing games. They're just talking.
Yeah. No. I'm not talking about like at PAX. They have that like interview.
Yeah.
Desk
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. U2 made their big play at E3 for their gaming push, and Twitch has got their work cut out for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a lot of resources that are thrown at this, and you know they're making a big content play. It's really interesting to see. I saw Just Cause. Did you take a look at Just Cause 3 at all?
No,
I was walking around. I think it was at the Square Enix booth, and I mean, it's just so ridiculous. But it looks fun.
Yeah,
like you've got like a squirrel suit, and you also have like the skyhook thing. So like you're squirrel suiting around, and then like you skyhook onto the ground. That's how you like accelerate yourself. It's just so stupid, but it looks fun. Then you parachute out. I mean. It seems like the equivalent of like a dumb summer blockbuster movie
So sort of like the way...
Wasn't Saints Row
supposed to be like that? Crazy.
Well, that's, I think that's way over the top. This is, I think this is trying to take itself a little more
Saints Row is like Naked Gun meets big over the top blockbuster.
God, Bethesda had a huge show.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
With Fallout 4?
Fallout 4.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that.
The
New Dishonored.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw that little Fallout. They have a Fallout. What is that?
The game.
To me about. You're talking about Fallout Shelter for the portable.
Yes.
I have played the crap out of that
already.
I've never played any of the Tiny Tower games.
Okay.
And that's what it's Fallout with Tiny. You're building a bunker.
Underground, right?
Oh, interesting.
They've done so. Two things I really like what they did with it is. It is, if you want to do some purchases in game, you can, but I haven't had to, and I've played it almost nonstop since it was announced.
So is it out already?
Yeah, it's out. It came out Tuesday night when they did their presser. So you can go to the iOS store and Apple store and get it.
Maybe I'll get it right now.
And you don't need to be online. So I was able to play it on the airplane, which is so, there's so few games that allow you to do that anymore on your Apple product.
That's nice.
So I guess they're working on an Android version as well. But I mean, honestly, if we talk about which game I kept going back to, that one was the game of show and it wasn't even on the show floor. But I am excited for the new Dishonored because I loved the first one.
What about the that new Ubisoft game that was announced? It was like the Soul Calibur meets...
A new fighting
for
game?
The honor.
For Honor. Yeah.
For Honor, which I kept teasing Mike should have been called game. For Failhour.
It's not a fighting game.
Oh.
It is how do I describe it?
Tactical combat?
Let's see. It's
like a rock, paper, scissors.
4v4.
Oh, arena based?
Sort of. And you go out, you're 4v4, and you are either a Viking warrior, something,
lots
samurai.
Of different time periods in which melee combat is a big deal.
And so you go out there, and it's your team of four individuals versus another team of four individuals.
Uh-huh.
And you go out there and it's essentially very like Soul Calibur, like combat. It feels more like,
did you actually
like
get a
Monday Night Combat hand to hand?
It feels more like a multiplayer. What was that?
99
Nights.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe I never played it, but I remember the name.
I think you're going down.
That's what you're thinking of.
Mm-mm.
We have computers in our hands.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up really quick.
It doesn't even cost anything. Fallout Shelter. No. Install mine.
Yeah, I've been playing it a lot.
Yeah, I haven't had an interesting game to play on my phone for a while, so that's good.
It's replacing Marvel Puzzle Quest in terms of hours spent playing.
Yeah, it is called 99 Nights. 99 Nights was for the Xbox 360, but really the gameplay was based on their old games, which was, it was like a hack and slash. And it was by Tetsuya Mizuguchi, who also did, I think that he also did Lumines. But anyway, 99 Nights and Dynasty Warriors is the other thing that he worked on.
Oh,
so it looks like Dynasty Warriors, essentially.
A little bit, except more historically accurate.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know, Failhour was smiling very
happily. What do you mean more historically accurate?
Yeah,
just in terms of appearances and character and combat style.
Okay.
It's not over the top. Like, you're not spinning and things like that. It's supposed to reflect the combat of those.
It's like Bushido
eras.
Blade, where it's real samurai.
Yeah, but not really. Not like one hit, one kill sort of thing. It's, but it is, it's very cool. It's very cool. It's definitely unique, and I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Oh, I got to see...
But there's really no, like, really crazy spectacles, like the car wash thing? Really?
Not like that. It was...
Interesting.
It's... I mean, every...
They've gone away from that, I guess.
All the big booths, they're double-deckered, and they're the big screens. Almost every booth had a huge screen running loops of demos.
And I can tell you
the small ones.
The area has changed quite a bit in the last 10 years, where... There isn't a whole lot of available space to do things like that.
So much construction down around there, more than I've seen in any other years.
Mm. Like, for instance, the car wash parking lot is not there anymore. Like, it's all all construction right
getting
now.
Built.
No tanks out front or anything?
There's no space for tanks.
Wow.
Anymore,
Interesting.
Yeah, everything's been diverted indoors, and then they're a little limited by what they can do.
But yeah, otherwise, content-wise, I think this was a good show for gamers in general. Like, the lineups this year are strong, which is, you know, great for PAX, too, because we know this is sort of like a preview of of what's going to be at the show.
Ideally, things get playable at PAX that were just showable at...
Yeah, cool. Yep, all right, that's it for me. Anything else, guys?
I think that's pretty good. All right. If you guys have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com.
Lovely.
Thanks. Bye.